I want to speak to you something God has been speaking all morning, and it's a message entitled, There is Hope. There is hope. If there is one thing that has been repeated over and over this morning, is that theme. And so, Lord, I just thank you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come now and to be our teacher. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would light up the scriptures and say what it is you want to say. For when you speak, oh God, things change. I thank you now for this quickening of hope that is our portion in you. And I thank you, in a hopeless world, we will shine as lights and beacon of hope because we have heard you today. We walk with you every day and you love us with an everlasting love. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. There is hope. I'm going to ask you if you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You know, the interesting thing, but I'm going to say it, is that God is never hopeless. God is never hopeless. And when we have been God touched, we also will take on this characteristic and we also will see from his vantage point. So I want to say today, I want to start by saying, if you and I have hope in this hopeless world, it is because we've been God touched. In this, where so many people are saying there is a crisis of hope, and it's true. The minute we leave this sanctuary and face whatever situation we have to face out there, there is a ever diminishing sense of hope and well-being. There is, you just read the news and you talk to people and you can feel like hope draining from people's hearts. And the enemy knows that when he can get a hopeless people, he gets the advantage. But there is a remedy to a crisis of hope. I've heard it once said that if you choose hope, you believe anything is possible. Once you choose hope. And for a Christian, hope is a person and hope is living. That's why the scripture says, Jesus Christ, our living hope. And this scripture I'd like to read, and we are actually going to read it. I'm gonna read it in the King James because that's what I like, but we're also going to read it in the ESV because many people at this school like the clarity of the ESV. And I don't know, it should be coming up on our screen here, but before I start and read the King James, I just want to highlight what Romans 5 verses 1 and 2, which it basically says that when we are justified by faith, when we have a living relationship with Jesus Christ and he accepts us just as if we've never sinned, and we access this relationship by faith because of what he did on the cross, it says we have peace with God. Then verse 2 says we don't just have peace with God, supernatural peace because of this relationship, but it says we have access into another grace, and it says we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we're allowed to have this peace that is from God when we have a relationship with Christ. And we're also given the ability to rejoice in hope in the glory of God, in the work God is going to do continually in his church and through his people. And if you will join me in verse 3, it says, and not only so, and not only that, will we be given a special grace to have peace and hope, but we will also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, and that patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And if we look at it in the ESV version, that starting at verse 3, it says basically that we will glory in suffering, because suffering will produce endurance, and endurance will produce character, and character produces hope. Here's, we need both versions to make this important point very clear. Hope is the end product of a process. Hope, God hope, not presumptuous hope, not kind of a hope, gee, I hope things get better, and it's really more than it's a wish, really. But the hope we're talking about is the hope that we have the privilege of experience when we're rightly related to God through Jesus Christ. There is a hope given us. And if it's the hope that we get through a process, one drop of hope can change everything. It is so potent. Hope is a bit like olive oil. I don't know if you know, but olive oil is not found in a natural state. There are olives that go through a process to yield olive oil. Olives actually have to be harvested. Then they have to be ground down to be made clean. Then they have to be crushed. And then they are pressed to be all the oil within them to be extracted. And then it's offered up as liquid gold. And anybody good cooks in the house, I'm talking to you, my brother Benny, know the value of that first press, cold pressed olive oil. I'm sure that's all he uses. Olive oil is not naturally found in nature. It is the product of something. The hope, the God hope that we're gonna talk about and see how does it change everything, is a result of a God process revealed to us in scripture out of Romans. And with this kind of hope, everything changes. And so this God hope, it says, not only do we have peace and the ability to have hope, but it says, but we glory in tribulations. That means you and I are given the grace to embrace trials, tribulations, and adversity. We are given grace to go through what we all have to go through. Does scripture not say that in the world, we shall have tribulations? Does it not say that we will all have tribulation? But the scripture says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And your hope, when it is in me, you and I are going to go through these pains, these tribulations, this suffering, this pressure, and somehow Jesus will show up in it. And in this going through this dark time, he will reveal himself to us. I am given power to rejoice in my sufferings. That is extraordinary, because I know from scripture that this suffering and trial is leading me somewhere. It is for a purpose that is inextinguishable. It is for a reason that can infuse people with hope. It is for a reason that we can lift up our heads. And as Pastor Pavel said today, we rejoice whether we're feeling it or we're not, whether we're happy or we're sad. I like to tell the students, did you know that there's only two times when we can praise the Lord? Did you know that? There's only two times. When we feel like it and when we don't. That's when we praise the Lord. And we are given that power to do that. And this suffering, what it does is we begin to experience him. So many today, you are not novices to suffering. Today there are people and you are acquainted with grief and sorrow. You know what loss is. You have experienced pressure that wants to put such a weight on mind and spirit as to, at times to feel unbearable. At times, it wants to so rob us of any hope, of any way forward. We know what that can be. But in that, Jesus said, this is how I work. I promise, I show up, and I am your fourth man in the fire. I am with you, and I am loving you. And sometimes, beloved, we don't know that till we get to the end of ourselves. Suffering sometimes has a way of cleansing our spirit and our mind. It has a way of opening our eyes that we see Jesus as never before. And he says, I can be found of you in the valley of the shadow of death. And when we bring these sufferings, these trials and tribulations that are common to everyone, somehow his presence brings hope where there should be no hope. where we experience something supernatural that is not there in the natural. His very presence gives us hope and lifts up our head, and we begin to understand things. And he is saying, I am here. Do not give up hope. I know you and I understand, but you will rise and you can rejoice in the work I am doing. You may not understand it, but you can rejoice that I've never left you and I've never forsaken you. And in this trial and tribulation, I am showing up and producing something of pure gold in your character. In Zechariah 9:13, there is a scripture and it says, turn you to the stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. It is the Lord saying, when you turn, when you and I turn to that stronghold of suffering, sometimes hopelessness, to that very hard place, it says, O prisoners of hope. What? No, I thought I was a prisoner of my circumstance. No, I thought I was a prisoner of hopelessness. But you're saying to me, Lord, that when I turn in my stronghold, what's bringing that pressure? What brings that sorrow? And you say, turn to it and look and see, I am there. And you're not a prisoner of hopelessness. You are a prisoner of hope. I am do something that is unimaginable to the human mind or spirit, how I do this. But I want to tell you, you are a prisoner of hope, and I am going to render double to you what you are going through. This is the word of the Lord. How does suffering, how does tribulation somehow work for the purposes of God to change our point of view and our trust in him? Beloved, tribulations will come in this world, but some will see Jesus in it. And when we see him, we are no longer a prisoner of circumstance, but we are a prisoner of hope. There will be no escaping the hope that his presence and what he does in the midst of that sorrow. There is nothing like it. You are prisoner of hope. You can't escape what he's doing in our heart and our minds. This is the portion belonging to the people of God. And he said, I don't just make you a prisoner of hope, no escaping it, but I will render, I will give to you double. You hang on and exalt my name. You hang on and say, my God, he still reigns on a throne. He's on a throne ruling and reigning. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows the beginning from the end. He has a purpose and a plan for my life. And I do not submit to hopelessness. I submit to hope because he does something supernatural. I have become a prisoner of hope, not a prisoner of hopelessness. How else can we speak to this world except this supernatural exchange is happening? So it says in tribulation, in suffering, it produces. Now we would think, oh my gosh, I've just come through that trial, as so many of us know. I can't believe it. It must be time to receive the gold medal, right? Must be time for the commendation. It must be time that the Lord pulls up a chair and goes, oh my gosh, have a seat. Look what you've been through. But no. We're after quest true gold, which is hope. And it says, so after the tribulation and the suffering produces patience. It's not a seat. It is a seat, but it's the seat of patience or enduring. The scripture says, let patience have its perfect work. That word perfect means maturing. That means there is no such thing on a Christian meter, if anybody has one, and you want to see how deep in God you are, how far in God in your faith have you traveled. Let me tell you something on the authority of scripture. A mature Christian is a patient Christian. Maturity in Christ looks like patience. Maturity in Christ looks like patience. Patience with ourselves and patience with each other. Because God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. But you see, you and I learn something, that his ways are higher, and the Lord God Almighty is not on our clock. He is not on our clock. He is for us and he is with us, but he is not on our clock. And when we have to learn such a critical lesson of patience after suffering, of patience and long suffering, there is something transformative happening in this. Some answers to prayer come quickly, as you know, and some must be prayed over and over. Some must take a long time, because I don't know why, but in believing God for people, in believing God for a situation, he alone can deepen our faith. He alone in that can deepen our faith, even though that answer for that specific thing, it didn't come. I don't know how God works. I don't know, whatever. Everything is inverted in the kingdom of God. But as we say, Lord, you know I need patience. You know I have to believe you in some areas of my life, and I have to keep on believing you. The Old Testament prophet Elijah and said that he had prophesied there would be no rain, and for years there was no rain. And then God was quickening his spirit. No, I am actually sending showers of blessing over a backslidden nation. No, actually, I'm gonna visit my people that have worshiped idols. No, actually, I'm gonna choose to be gracious to them when they have forgotten me days on end. I'm going to send the rain. And so he goes, and it's like, my gosh, and he goes up to the hill proclaiming God is gonna send rain. Proclaimed to a backslidden king, Ahab, it's gonna rain. But he goes and he prays the first time, I'm sure with all kinds of faith in the world, he heard from God, and he lifts his head and no rain. So he bows his head and he prays again. He puts his head between his knees, the scripture says, and he prays again and no rain. 7 times he prays, and then he lifts his head and he sees the cloud the size of a man's hand way in the distance. And I've stood on that mountain in Mount Carmel and looked out over that bay and that sea that he looked at. And that would be such a small thing. But he, the scripture says, he just girded up all his garments and told his servant, run, we've got to run. A deluge is coming. And with that, I say that patience in God is rewarded always. Your patience will be rewarded. And so for those today, you're praying for family members, for sons and daughters and grandchildren. Do not give up. Do not give up. And do not be ashamed of your sons and your daughters. Do not be ashamed of your grandchildren. Keep speaking hope to them. You see, as we partake of the God process for hope, hope has something that cannot be matched in the arsenal of hell, because it solely has its center in God and God's promises to his people alone. Hell cannot partake in hell. It just gets more and more hell in hell. There is a complete absence of hope. And the enemy so fears hope. He's not a partaker of it anymore. So what he wants to do is he wants to fear that despair, and that fear and that destruction is who he is and where he dwells. But when we dwell in hope, we are so anti-devil. We are so what is opposite from the pit of hell. We are moving in the spirit of God, and it is a character of God given to us through trials and tribulations and patience. We will not give up on our children and grandchildren. We will not give up on this incoming class. Our grandchildren are coming. Our children are coming through. Our incoming class, they are coming through. They are coming through an exceeding great army. We have a people of hope here who are going to pray for them, believe for them, speak into their lives, and that quality of hope. Hallelujah. Now, suffering produces this patience, and patience produces endurance or character. Again, I just want to say there is a lot of character. There is a lot of experience in this room. I know many of your stories, and this has nothing to do with age. This has nothing to do with your chronological age. This is about your spiritual journey in God. And there are a lot of experiences in this room. You know, when I began to think, what are some of my experiences? Many, but Can I, you know, my family, they lovingly nickname me Debbie Downer because if ever there's a crisis or something wrong happening, I seem to know about it and I freely share it. And so here's my experiences. We lost a house to fire and everything in it, all its contents. We lost a house to mold through flood and we lost everything. Because of that, losing that house, and we lived in a mold-ridden house till it was discovered, my husband's health was seriously compromised, as were some of my children. We experienced Hurricane Sandy in a unique way. Yes, we lost that house for a season we were in. We had to live in the back of the church in New York City in a studio for 3 months. I have had brain surgery. We have raised 3 teenagers. And there's a lot of people going, girl, amen and amen. Add your stories to my few. There's a lot of experience. And there has been a lot of character building going on in this room. And tribulation or suffering leads to patience or endurance, which leads to experiences and character. And beloved, I just want to say to you today, I don't know if you know this, but you are a pure potential for hope. You have been trained the biblical way. You have been through the fire and through the flood, as I have been. And we have something embedded in us because Jesus loves us. Because there is something is being placed in our character that cannot be moved. God is so merciful to us. God has covered us every time we have messed up, every time we fall short, but he loves us and he's committed to us. And he says, I put my spirit in you. My life is in you. You have open access to a throne where I rule and reign. And I have a purpose and a plan for you. So I'm changing your character through the fire and through the flood. But I want to say something. You are in that school of hope. And there are many here today. You qualify to be able to, I want to stir up into you that ability to hope against hope is your portion. God has been faithful to you. And you can say, yep, check off tribulations, patience, experience, character. Yep, that's me. So I thank you, it says, because at the end, then this character, this experience produces hope. Produces hope. And today what we're going to do is we are actually going to do the sort of like the piece de resistance of what we do when we have been touched by hope. And that is actually found in Romans 15. It says this, that we have that have been in the God process and not really understood what the reward was. We that have been through these things and God has been faithful. When we went through tribulation, he kept us from being bitter. We went by the grace of God to better. When we have gone, needed patience, we wanted to run. He nailed our foot to the floor and then he showed up. When we wanted to say the experiences and this character is very painful at times and he goes, but you're not who you used to be when you started this journey. You're becoming the light of the world. Think on that. A light, not just a cold light, but a light of heat and warmth. And he says, now that you're a candidate, you and I were going to speak hope to our generation because we have qualified now to have that. The end result in us is a God hope. Beloved, you don't have to believe me, believe the word of God. It is the process. It is, we've been the olive and the olive oil has been produced in us. And Romans 15:13 says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not just a small measure of hope, but we can call on the Holy Spirit and say, oh God, God of hope, in my believing you and believing you maybe imperfectly through this process, but I'm still here. I still am in church. I still am believing you are the God of hope. And in my believing, cause me, blow on me to abound in hope. I pray that this congregation abound in hope. I pray when you come through this door, no matter what your experience has been this week, you and I are given grace to lift up our hands from whence and lift up our eyes from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, and begin to praise that God who is in control and begin to infuse us with hope. Not just a small amount of hope, but in believing, joy, peace, and abounding in hope be our portion. Not just on Sunday for 2 hours, but when we leave this door, God shows up and we impact this nation with hope because we're speaking who our God is and what God intends to do. When we ask the Holy Ghost to come upon us and stir up this hope that has been deposited in us, when people want to look so scornfully or so cynically at us, when we begin to speak about our God, I pray they want to go, hope, what does hope look like? I pray you and I can be bold enough to say, hope looks like me. Hope looks like me by the grace of God, and tell your story. And share how good God has been. This is not for the strong. This is for the weak. This is not for people who have it all together 24/7. None of us have it all together 24/7. We stand by grace, accessing a throne of a God who gave himself and loves us, who covers us in our imperfections, and then asks us to join him in his perfect plan of moving the darkness in our generation. So I say, devil, we put you on notice today. I don't know how you blew it this bad, but when I read the Bible, it says, I only get more hopeful. I'm actually in the process of tribulation and suffering and patience and endurance and character and experience makes me a candidate of pure potential of hope. Devil, you blew it up one more time. You don't understand the ways of God because when I am weak, then I am strong. But you and I are going to move in the hope of God. We have a trusting expectation and we will not be disappointed. And we are promised a double portion as we become deeper and deeper of prisoners of hope. I'm a prisoner of hope and I'm believing for revival. I've heard it preached all my life since I was a young woman in a church with my husband, the first preacher I ever heard it when the Holy Ghost would come on him and he would say, revival, God has a plan to touch this nation. He's going to sweep it from beginning to end. God, this crisis of hope is making people ready to receive hope. There was a time people didn't need hope the way they need hope now. But God is orchestrating something to open the hearts of a backslidden people to one more time show them mercy and show themselves strong. Do you not think he hears the cry of the young generation and the children? Does he not hear the cry of the elderly and those that feel overcome by the spirit of the world? But he has another plan and he is orchestrating it. I say God is going to sweep this nation with his spirit. And I am having hope and I am a prisoner of hope. I am a prisoner of hope to this prophecy. That's why I am here, because I believe God is going to put on his feet an exceeding great army. And it's going to be the young and the old. It's going to be us who are all prisoners of hope, because when the spirit of God comes, all boats rise. All boats rise. Every nation, every part of the nation, the old, the young, everyone here, our boat rises in revival. I pray God ignite your heart today, because guess what? You've been through so many parents. You've been through the process. Friends, young people, faculty, students here. We have been through the process. God says, congratulations, you've graduated hope. Now call on the Holy Spirit to ignite it, that you and I walk in it and we may abound in it. May God bless us with the understanding of this word, the desire for it, and that we leave and impact this nation as dealers of hope. Will you stand with me? praise you. I just want to ask you if you say, God, I receive that word. I look away from me. I look away from the mirror, but I look up. And I ask you to make me, touch me in such a special way by your Spirit. Ignite, God of hope, a hope in me that cannot be diminished, that I may speak life in this generation. And if that is you, would you just slip your hands up all over this place that is saying, God, I'm in receiving mode with the living word of God. I believe your promises to me, O God. I thank you for every tribulation and place of suffering. I thank you how you have had to work patience in me, but that is necessary. I thank you, my character and experiences. You've been faithful to me to produce hope in me. If it means something to you, please come forward, because we're just going to worship for a few minutes and we're going to ask the Spirit of God to seal the word that he has spoken today, that it's not just for a moment, but it is for our lives. It is for the sharing of our children, our grandchildren, for our communities, wherever we are. Oh God, open our eyes to see. We are pure potential for hope because you've been faithful to us. Come forward if that's you. Otherwise, let's just lift our hands up. Say, Lord, you have spoken, and by the grace of God, I believe it and I receive it. As we worship now, let him speak. Let him deepen this word. Let us give us the courage to walk in it, because he will be faithful. He's always will be our fourth man in the fire. And Lord, we believe, help our unbelief, but this is what you're doing in my generation. I will no longer bemoan that I belong to this generation. This generation is the most exciting, hope-filled, spirit-filled group to walk this earth. And if we want in, we're in. Hallelujah, by the mercy of God. So let us worship as he deepens this word in us. Hallelujah.